It's a remarkable achievement for Trokra that we're still here 40 years later. And by achievement, I mean for the Irish people who have supported us, because Trokra is, I suppose, the Irish Catholic population and those others who like what we do and who support us. And through thick and thin, by various recessions, including the current one, people still understand that there are people in the world who are really on the verge of poverty and destitution, and whatever difficulties we have, others are worse off, and people are still giving what they can. And so I think it's a great tribute to the Irish people. And when I travel for Trokra, you know, I talk with many of the communities that are supported, and trying to explain to them where the money comes from can be interesting. Sometimes they think it's me, or me and my friends, or they think it's very, very rich people back in Ireland. And I explain, you know, and sometimes I have the box with me and I show them and I say it's about ordinary people who are in the homes, in the schools, in the workplaces, people who are unemployed, retired people. These, for the most part, are those who are supporting your work. And they always ask me to convey not just the gratitude of the communities or help for the financial support, but what really, really touches them is that people so far away would take such an active interest in their lives. And it's that sense of solidarity that I think really touches them. And I just would say to people listening, you know, don't underestimate the act of putting that few bob in the Trokra box or whatever it is you do for the people of the developing world, that it does achieve great things for them, because small amounts go a lot further. And the sense that people have of that they are cared for, they're part of a world community that we are helping each other across the world, is very real, and it's a very enriching experience, I think, for all of us.
And this year you went a little bit different. I mean, normally when you look at your theme for your Lenten campaign, you tend to take a larger issue. But this year you focused quite specifically on an area. What was the thinking behind that?
Well, I suppose one of the things we've had to do in the last few years is to reduce the number of countries we're working in because of the recession and so on. You know, our money is not what it used to be, and better to be in fewer and doing more. And then the issue came about, well, which countries will we withdraw from? And the question of India came up. Now, India is, as we know, a middle-income country, and it's known for its booming economy and, like Mumbai and the technology and all of that. But there are actually 400 million people in India who live in desperate poverty. A child in India is more likely to be malnourished than a child in Mali or in Chad in Africa. So what we're seeing is this enormous division in society as economies grow. Of course, it creates wealth, but wealth doesn't eliminate poverty. It just creates wealth. And what happens to the wealth is the real issue. And what we're seeing is the emergence of, you know, a growing middle class and wealthy class, and a growing underclass of people who are caught in poverty. And India is a very good example of that. And we think it's important that in Ireland we understand that. And that just because India turns up at some high-flying international conference doesn't mean that there are not, you know, hundreds of millions of people in India who really do need our aid. So it's kind of slightly provocative to say, well, we're sticking with India. And this community that we're focusing on, the village of Jilligowan in the province of Odisha, I think is a very good case in point. Odisha is a province with 40 million people, and it's about twice the size of Ireland. So you can imagine the density of population. And 80% of those people are poor. And if it was an independent country, it would rank in the bottom 10 countries in terms of its wealth. So it is a very interesting place in this so-called wealthy continent. And the village community, the Pavara people, are traditionally tribal people. So they are people who have come out of the forests. So in India, society is divided into a number of castes, from the Brahmins at the top to the Dalits at the bottom. And then you have these other people who are not even in that system. And the tribals are one of them. So as forests were being cut down, their livelihood, people who lived in the forest knew how to live, survive. Their food was in the forest, their medicines were in the forest, their habitat was in the forest. And they found themselves out on open ground as the forests were cut away, unable to farm because it's not part of their tradition, illiterate. totally cut off from the civil structures and what's happening in society. And so this group have had to be slowly brought to realize what it now lives means to live in modern India, and to, that they can, they have rights, that they're entitled to support, that they're entitled to have their children educated, they're allowed to have their voice heard in local councils. Chokra has been working in that community for the last 7 years, and we have seen a real transformation in people who were kind of destitute, like illiterate, and very poor results from their farming efforts and so on. But through working with them, helping them to improve the way they plant their crops, understanding better ways to do things, by telling them about their rights, that they're entitled to have a school in the village, they're entitled to have a health worker trained, they're entitled to have representation. And they have really transformed themselves in the last 7 years. And when I was there just a few months ago, and I met that young girl, Ambika, and her family, it was wonderful to hear their delegate to the local council get up, about 23, 24 years of age, young woman, and talking about what she is doing for her community and how her voice is being listened to. And so on. So it's a real success story.